Well, good morning to everyone. I want to welcome you to this extraordinary national park site. I've had an amazing tour of this facility, including the memorial for the USS Arizona. And let me start off by saying that when you visit a site like this, you can't help but have several significant impressions. The first impression, of course, is that when you look at the wall that commemorates those who have lost their lives here, and you realize how many families get impacted and affected, I think you have an even greater appreciation for the sacrifice that our military and our military families make for this country. And it reminds all of us of the extraordinary work that these brave young men and women do for us every single day and continue to do for us. But it isn't just a sacrifice, and it isn't just a reflection on the past history that's celebrated here. It's also an extraordinary example of forward thinking. The military is in a very, very serious and significant way, reminding us of the need for this country to think big. And the military, I think, in the way in which they are approaching the future, particularly as it relates to energy and energy efficiency and energy production, is reminding us once again that this country is one that has the capacity not just to think big, but to also act big. I've had a briefing this morning in which we talked a little bit about what the military is doing here in Hawaii on energy. They understand and appreciate that energy security is important for the future of this country, and they are dedicated to making sure that the military, the Navy, provide a good example to the rest of the country in terms of how to go about doing this. They first and foremost want to create a better awareness on the part of the military and the military families of the need to be efficient with the power and the electricity and the fuel that we have. They are using the latest technologies and smart grid technology to monitor the use of power and energy on a regular basis so that we have a better way of conserving our energy. And they are very much involved in the promotion of biofuels and biopower. They, first and foremost, as you travel to the memorial, you'll travel on a number of ships that are powered by biodiesel that is purchased by the Navy and no doubt most likely produced here in Hawaii, perhaps by Pacific Biodiesel, which is the oldest biodiesel producer and refinery in the country, started in 1996. They have committed themselves to promoting biofuel production with a lease arrangement, encouraging the private sector to create a 500 megawatt power plant that will be based solely on biopower. They are utilizing and will continue to expand E85 and B20 opportunities for their fleet, their vehicle fleet. They have roughly 2,000 vehicles, 75% of which are capable of using E85 or B20, and they are going to encourage the utilization of that. And this effort by the military is being assisted and aided by USDA to the extent that we provided recently a $5 billion business and industry loan to Pacific Biodiesel to allow it to expand its capacity so that as more vehicles are added to the B-20 and E-85 effort, the supply will be readily available. We continue to do research in this area, and essentially this is very consistent. We talked yesterday about a blueprint for strengthening service in terms of some of the tough calls and tough choices that we've had to make. This is the reason we make these tough calls and tough choices, so that over time we can continue to provide the kind of program assistance that will allow the bioeconomy to take hold. USDA is proud of the fact that we've had over 22,000 rural energy assistance programs, which are focused on energy efficiency as the military is, allowing our farmers, ranchers, and rural folks to use electricity and power and energy more efficiently. We are working with the RECs in rural America to retrofit homes located in rural communities so that they can do a better job of conserving energy. Our Forest Service is engaged in 56 projects around the country using woody biomass to produce power for schools and other institutions. We financed 4 biorefineries recently that will be using non-food feedstock to produce cellulosic ethanol and advanced biofuels. We've dedicated and already signed up over 50,000 acres of non-food feedstock to provide opportunities for advanced biofuels. We're helping advanced biofuel producers, and we're also working with the Navy, the Department of Energy, to create a drop-in aviation fuel. All of this is a result of a commitment by the President and this administration to getting America in a much better energy security position. It's already having an impact. We're reducing our reliance on fossil fuels imported from other countries. We're creating jobs here in America, and we're promoting better income opportunities for our farmers, ranchers, and producers. So this is a good example of forward thinking. Later today, I'll have an opportunity for an additional briefing on a first-in-the-world government 4G long-term evolution cell network, which we are piloting here in Hawaii. It's an opportunity for public safety officials to have an interoperable system to be able to communicate with each other during the course of emergency circumstances. We are piloting here in rural and remote areas on the islands using new technology. We're also using it in our research and development capacities. ARS is essentially placing small chips, if you will, on fruit flies. And we are basically monitoring the activity of those fruit flies in over 100,000 traps to determine patterns to aid us in trying to determine how best to mitigate the damage and hopefully eradicate the damage that fruit flies can cause. Now, this is the kind of forward thinking, this is the kind of thinking big that I think the military here in the Pacific area has exemplified. And it's really it's an amazing thing. And it's a good reminder. It's a good reminder of the capacity of this country and of the sacrifice that folks have made to allow us to have this extraordinary country and this extraordinary opportunity to make a difference. So with that, I'd be happy to answer questions if there are any. Good question. In terms of the future of the biodiesel industry, when is the tax credits have expired? I think first and foremost, I think our approach is to figure out ways in which we can build demand for the product. We think that there's an industry if there's demand. So the fact that we're using our other USDA projects and programs like the Business and Industry Loan Program to provide opportunities to produce more biodiesel, and then working with the Navy and the Department of Defense. The Navy has made a very serious commitment as part of its overall strategic strategy to really rely more heavily on biofuels in the future. And this is sort of the test pilot process here in Hawaii. When we get to the Navy using 50% of its fuel needs in biofuel, that's an enormous market that's going to be available that will make it easier for the industry to survive. And we've seen examples of this take place recently with the Navy contracting to purchase 450,000 gallons of biofuel, which will be mixed to produce roughly 3/4 of a million gallons that will be used here in the Pacific Theater and as part of their Green Fleet initiative. To the extent that we create a drop-in aviation fuel, we're creating new industries. So I don't think we necessarily have to rely solely on tax credits. I think we are now looking at strategies that will help build demand and making sure that as demand is built, supply is also being ramped up at the same time and using our existing authorities and existing programs. The challenge will obviously be to ensure that we have continued support for those traditional programs and using them in an innovative way, which gets us back to the blueprint for strengthening service and examples of USDA wanting to preserve as much of its budget as possible to be able to put into these programs. Other questions?
What is the feedstock they use here for biodiesel? Can you also clarify, what does it mean by a drop-in?
Okay. First of all, I may be wrong about the number of years, Chris, that it will take the Navy to get to their 50% goal, but I think they're looking at, you know, it's going to take probably several, obviously several years, but probably a decade or more to get there, but they will ramp up over time. I mean, they use, obviously, a tremendous amount of fuel, and if we can get them to use 50% of that fuel as a biofuel, that is an enormous market. Secondly, you know, the great thing about the biofuel industry and the bioeconomy is it plays to the strengths of each individual region of the country. So there's no one feedstock that will be advantageous. It's dependent upon where you are. So here, you obviously have a substantial amount of tourism, and that means that people are going to restaurants on an ongoing basis, and they are the style of cooking that people are attracted to on this island and that is used generates a lot of used cooking oil. So is there a way of basically converting that into something valuable? And I think over time, as we do additional research, we're going to find that crop production here, that there's probably agricultural waste product that can potentially be used as well. Now, if you go to a different part of the country, you're going to have a completely different mix and scenario, and that's the great thing about this. Forgot your third question.
So what's a drop-in?
A drop-in, yeah. Well, basically what's happening today is that when the Navy purchases biofuel, they're mixing it and they're essentially extending their fuel supply. A drop-in fuel is basically just that. You don't mix it, you don't blend it, you just put it in the tank and away you go. And obviously that's not a 10 or 20% or 30% calculation, it's 100%. And the commercial aviation industry in particular is very interested in this. We've just had examples recently of a couple of airlines beginning to use this on a pilot basis. And the reason they're interested in it is that its greenhouse gas effects is less as Europe and other areas of the world basically begin to monitor and regulate greenhouse gases from aviation coming in and out of their countries. It will be easier for American commercial airlines to be able to comply with those regulations if they're using this type of fuel. So they're very interested in this taking off, which is why we work together with the Navy and Department of Energy to try to facilitate this and accelerate it.